Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in at 7 p.m. 319-527-6204. And you can also call in your prayer requests at that same number. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, and it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to say happy and healthy and prosperous new year to each and every one of you. I pray that God will strengthen you and guide you in the way that he would have you to go, and that his will be done. Amen, and praise be to God. So at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. To God be the glory. The Lord of all the earth. In Joshua 3 and 13, and the NIV says, as soon as the priests who carried the ark of the Lord of all the earth, Jehovah Adon called Ha-Ares, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Praise be to God. The Lord of all the earth. As the Israelites sought to enter the promised land, a river blocked their way. They had seen you part the Red Sea, but now it was time to see you in a new way. You told them you had given them the land and that you would drive out their enemies if they would do what you said. So you sent their priests into the Jordan, and as their feet touched the water's edge, you stopped the waters from flowing and dried up the riverbed so the people could cross over, offering you honor and praise all along the way. You are a great and awesome God who still does mighty acts on behalf of your people. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I will play another selection. Praise be to God.
Wonder the kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. What will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day? Get down on his knees and pray. Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Listen. You're the only Jesus some will ever see. And you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you.
Belongs to you. Belongs.
Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. All belongs to you. Let us pray. Lord of all the earth, sometimes it can be difficult to see how you will make a way where there seems to be no way. I wish I could know what the Israelites were thinking as they stood along the banks of the Jordan after hearing that you had instructed them to walk through it into the promised land. Did they doubt you? Just as I sometimes do, did they immediately give you thanks, or did they wait until they saw the water began to stop flowing? I confess to you Lord of the earth, I often forget that you have control over the earth you created. The elements are nothing to you. After all, you made them. You are not bound by the laws of science. The earth is your playground, and it is under your command. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise be to God. And now it is time for our daily bread. Praise be to God, which is entitled Prepare for Greater. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. And it says, I will do something new. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Praise be to God. The writer says, God is always doing a new thing in you, preparing you for his great plans. You may be doing the same task you have done for years, but he is still causing you to grow in your faith and talents and mature in your character and depth. Amen. Praise be to God. No one ever gets to the end of their potential. No matter how old or experienced you may be, there's always more that the Lord calls you to do. Be an experience. Therefore, I challenge you to review the past year and identify the areas where God has been growing you. If you find you are not progressing, ask him why that is and what is holding you back. There may be an obstacle in your life that you need to face, or a sin you need to confess before you can move ahead. So do it. There is a new year ahead of you, and God wants to work through you and demonstrate his power and wisdom in your life as you live out his purposes. Go into the new year with an attitude of freedom, hopefulness, and victory by taking hold of the new things the Lord is doing in you. Amen. To God be the glory. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is unto me. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jesus, may this new year bring even more of your awesome plans to fruition in my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that is our devotional message for this evening, preparing for greater. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. And again, at this time, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here to conduct our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So again, if you want to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. And you can also call in your prayer request at that same number. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
All to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. In all that we do, no matter where we are. In the fullness of his blessing, nothing is possible without God. We come to know his mercy, humbling ourselves to his mountain. Far as the eye can see, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. His love knows no bounds. His goodness always true, and he's coming in the clouds.
Amen. All to the glory of God. Lord of the earth, thank you for your creation and for your creative powers. It's comforting to know that nothing is too big for you or removed from your control. The winds may rage and the storms shake the ground, but nothing shakes you. Nothing surprises you. Thank you for your ability to subdue the creation underneath you. In you, I find my peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And at this time, I will play another selection. And this selection is awesome by Charles Jenkins. For our God is truly, truly awesome. Amen? Praise God.
Everybody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Gives strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say it. Lift your voice. Forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify if you know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice. Somebody
Praise be to God. He is awesome. God of the earth, I ask you for special grace, that I might keep my eyes on Jesus Christ, not on the waves surrounding me, and not on the water you're calling me to walk out onto. Even if the waters were peaceful, my mind would still doubt that I could walk on them. As Peter sank when he looked down, I ask that I will not sink. May my eyes always be on you, Lord Jesus. And as the Israelites witnessed you stop the running water, I pray that you will help me to do whatever you ask me to do so that I can witness your miraculous interventions in my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
my life. There have been many trials and tribulations, but there one thing I come to know without a doubt is that God can and God will. Therefore, I know I can always.
When you're feeling down, you need to know that there's a safe place you can go to share your despair. Fall down on your knees, they help to save your feet. Cast your cares on him, he'll supply all your needs. Friends and family, they can walk away. But when you call on God, he'll come and save the day. He loves and cares for you, and he will see you through. You both can walk hand in hand through the storm, he will say. And he'll show the way. Through all of your trials, you must trust and believe. I'm a witness that through faith and prayer, you shall receive. Through your faith, your eyes will be open. Through the hope he is in the Father, he saved us for his own purpose.
And full of grace and grace. My role as a leader better recognize something like a preacher. From dust to dust, fall down to my knees. I wipe my slate clean from my mind at ease. He's the rock that I always can lean on at all times. A name I can call on. Jesus.
Father in heaven, thank you for this new day. Thank you for the opportunity to begin again. I choose to press forward and keep believing for the dreams and desires you placed in my heart. I trust you today with everything that I am. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. In Psalms 31, 19 through 20, in the NASB says, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you. Before the sons of men, you hide them in the secret place of your presence and the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Amen. And John 16:33 in the AMP says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulations and trials and distress and frustrations. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undoubted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Refresh yourself in the peace of my presence. This peace can be your portion at all times and in all circumstances. Learn to hide in the secret of my presence. Even as you carry out your duties in the world, I am both with you and within you. I go before you to open up the way, and I also walk alongside you. There could never be another companion as devoted as I am. Because I am your constant companion, there should be a lightness to your step that is observable to others. Do not be weighed down with problems and unresolved issues, for I am your burden bearer. In the world you have trials and distress, but don't let them get you down. I have conquered the world and deprived it of power to harm you. In me, you may have confidence and peace. Amen. Praise be to God for the reading of his mighty word. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Come.
Come all ye broken, come all ye broken, come all ye broken. I see the burdens you carry. I want to save you from the weight of the world. My child, why do you tarry? Bring me the things that bind up your soul. For my yoke is easy. The burdens I give are light. Come on, ye broken. Come all ye faint of heart, come all ye weary souls, and find your rest in me. Leave the cares of this world far behind. Keep your feet on
My word is a lamp to your step. My word is a lamp. My name is alive. Come all ye broken. Come all ye faint of heart. Come all ye weary souls and find your rest. Come all ye broken. Come all ye faint of heart. Come all ye weary souls and find.
While we are waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another short selection. Amen. Praise God. to God, brother. Let me be your shelter. Hallelujah, Jesus. And now it is time for our lesson of the evening, Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. And our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap. Praise. Amen. Praise be to God. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Thank you. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Blessed, thank you. I'm here.
God bless you. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you. Is anyone else on the line with us?
No, ma'am.
All right. So we're going to open in prayer. Precious and Heavenly Father, Lord God, we can't thank you enough. We thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a day we've never seen before. We thank you for this new year, Father God. We thank you for life, breath, health, strength. We thank you for the good times and the bad times, too. We thank you for understanding, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. God, we thank you for everything. You are just a mighty good God. We thank you for being who you are. We thank you for doing what you do. We thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do, and what you're doing right now. So bless everyone that's on the line. Bless those who are listening in the archives. Bless those who just even thought about us tonight. Bless those who thought about Jesus tonight. So we thank you, God, for doing everything that you do. Again, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. You are just so wonderful with your unconditional love, your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your compassion, all of the benefits that you bestow upon your children. And Father God, we love you. We adore you. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission, and give us understanding as we study your word and as we delve more into this theology, this theological basic theology textbook that we're reading. And we thank you. We thank you for even introducing it to us. And we bless the angel that thought it not robbery to allow us to delve more into the meaning of theology. Bless Apostle Robert Wiggins. And just continue to bless him and keep him and cover him and his family, Lord God. We love you so very much. And all these blessings I ask in the matchless name of our Savior and your only begotten Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Beautiful prayer.
Amen. Praise God. So we're going to pick up on page 265, but I'm going to go back up to section 2, the enemies of the believer. We're not going to go into the scriptural thing because we've done that already, but I just wanted to start with this section and then go on to part B. And the enemies of the believer, this is under the topic of the Christian and sin. And this is part two. The enemies of the believer. The believer is continually opposed by the world, the flesh, and the devil. What does that mean?
It means that we are constantly fighting the battle of sin in this world and in our flesh.
Okay. Not necessarily fighting, but people are opposing us. They are against us in the world,
okay,
through the flesh and through the devil. We don't have to be fighting them. It's just that they try to put a stumbling block in our way.
Okay.
You know, sometimes we don't even know who those opposers are.
True that.
You know, they're not necessarily seen. Not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying oftentimes when these oppressors and those who are opposed against us, they don't reveal themselves. You know, we just know that we're having a problem. Okay.
Amen.
Okay. So first part is A, the world. We have already discussed in detail the concept of this world system under Satanology. Suffice it to review and add only a few details at this point. Number one, its description. Satan stands as its head and controlling force. Its chief, talking about what?
Characteristics.
No, we're talking about the world.
Oh, is this
Satan's head about the world?
His head and controlling force.
So,
yeah, okay.
Satan is the head and controlling force of the world.
Right.
Okay. Its chief characteristic is counterfeiting. So Satan will use any tactic he can in order to defeat the believer.
Yeah.
So often borderline issues are the most difficult to discern and decide. What does that mean? Borderline issues are often the most hard or the most difficult to know of and decide. You know, is it is it not? Is it for real? Is it counterfeit? You know.
Is it up to the individual to discern whether it's real or if it's fake or?
Yeah, we're talking about the believer, so definitely it's up to the individual.
Yes.
So and Satan will use any tactic he can to beat the believer, to defeat the believer, to cause the believer to stumble and fall and be tempted and to go into the wrong direction, not following God, to lead him astray. Okay, that's Satan's job. That's what he was put here for.
That's the only way he can get to you.
That's his job. And he's on his job.
Oh, yeah.
We have to be on our job of not following what he's trying to lead us astray to do. So often borderline issues are most difficult to discern and decide. What do you think that means, borderline issues?
I don't know.
Things that are not quite clear cut. You don't know if it's necessarily right or wrong, but it's like, you know, close. You understand?
Close?
It's close, C-L-O-S-E.
Ooh, close.
It's not quite, you're not certain.
Right,
if it's right or if it's wrong.
Okay.
You know, so you got to kind of... So you have to pray about it. You have to even talk to your fellow believers about it and get another opinion. Pray about it for certain.
Oh, definitely.
You know, go to God about it.
Mm-hmm.
Go to God about it because it's not clear to us if it's right or wrong. Should I do this or you know, would I be transgressing against God if I did thus and such? You know, so borderline issues are most difficult to discern and decide. So number two, our defense. A number of things serve as the believer's defense against the counterfeit of the world. The armor, Ephesians 6:13-18. Knowledge of Satan's strategy, 2 Corinthians 2:11. Sobriety, vigilance, 1 Peter 5:8. Perhaps faith to be placed at or near the top of the list.
Amen.
Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith, 1 John 5:4-5. The faith that identified us with Christ's work on the cross. Since every believer has such faith, he has an adequate defense against the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have this faith in Jesus Christ. Because of his work on the cross.
That's right.
That gives us a sufficient defense against the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The ruler of this world. Yet such faith needs to be constantly exercised to realize victory. And let's look at 1 Timothy 6:12 for a minute.
Okay.
This faith needs to be constantly exercised to give us victory. And again, that's 1 Timothy 6:12. Well,
Valerie always called the wrong time. Hold one second.
No problem.
Hi, Val.
Hi, how are you, Evangelist?
I'm fine. I'm on the program. Okay, it's important. No, I didn't get it yet. Remember,
okay.
It was a holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Okay then.
Tomorrow.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Bye bye. I'm sorry about that. Okay.
It's okay.
Where was we? 6 and 12.
1 Timothy 6 and 12.
Yes. It says, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to God, to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. That's what we got to do. Fight the good fight. And Paul says, mm-hmm. you know, be strong and run and fight the good fight. Don't let
mm-hmm.
the devil defeat you, in other words.
Exactly. Exactly. And mine, of course, the message says, running hard. I've started 11 through 12. It says, but you, Timothy, man
mm-hmm.
of God, run for your life from all this. Pursue a righteous life, a life of wonder, faith, love, steadiness, courtesy. Run hard and fast in the faith. Seize the eternal life, the life you were called to, the life you so fervently embraced in the presence of so many witnesses. So live this thing that you embraced in front of so many people, a life of wonder, faith, love, steadiness, courtesy. Don't give up. Stay in the race. Stay in the race because you're running for eternal life. All right? And we know that we will have eternal life no matter what, whether we go to heaven or hell. But
mm-hmm.
in hell, it's going to be an eternal life of torment.
Yes.
All right?
Amen.
Yeah, so we don't want that.
I'm going to say amen to that because I genuinely don't want to be down there.
We don't want that. Exactly. Exactly. We want eternal life with our Heavenly Father, with Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's what I'm
That's
striving
it.
For. So got to
That's
stay
where we
want to
be.
Fight the good fight and hold on.
That's
to
it.
Yes.
Stay in the race. And it
yes,
won't be easy because it's already said, do this that you so fervently did in front of witnesses.
Yes.
You know? So you've mm-hmm. already declared that you're going to do this and do it right and be, you know, sincere and loving and kind and all of those things. You've done this in front of witnesses, so don't give up. Don't stop.
That's right.
Don't let anybody turn you around. Don't let nobody turn you around.
Not even your own family. No.
Period. People, period. Don't let nobody turn you around. That covers family, friends, strangers,
everybody.
Don't let nobody turn you around. All right?
Yeah.
And be
blessed.
Number one, the concept. The flesh is that principle of sin within all of us. Some equate the sin nature with flesh. The flesh produces works. The flesh produces works, Galatians 5 and 19, is characterized by lust and passions, verse 24, 1 John 2 and 16, and can enslave the believer, Romans 7 and 25. Let's take a look at Galatians 5 and 19.
Galatians Galatians 5 and
19.
Galatians 5 and 19, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Galatians 4.
We're talking about the works of the flesh.
Mm-hmm. 5:19-18:19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Here we go. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. 19, right? Just 19?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, you could read more if you choose to. No?
Well, yeah, I'm here. Adult, 20 says idolatry, sorcery.
Idolatry.
I don't know why I say that. Idolatry, sorcery, hostility, envy, drunkenness,
what?
Wild parties.
What was that?
Hmm?
After you said idolatry, some stuff I didn't hear. I didn't understand.
Sorcery.
Yeah, I heard that, and after that, it was something else.
Hostility.
I heard that.
Quarreling.
What?
Yes. Quarreling. You know, like when you're quarreling. With somebody.
Yeah, it wasn't clear. I got it.
Okay. And jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, and division. Those are them. But it's more.
Those are them. So what are those? What are those is them? What is that?
Those are the lust of the flesh.
Amen. Yes. These are the works of the flesh.
I know.
All right?
Like some of them in there when I was, before I found the Lord. Ooh, girl, please.
I know.
Right there in the front line.
Many of us. But let me read mine. It says, the life of freedom. And I'm going to read 19 through 21. It says, it is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved. I was going to say importance, but an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, and uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on.
Just don't.
We
need to hear it anyway.
Oh, my Lord. So, wow.
Yeah.
Those are the...
Enemies.
Those are the things that are produced by the flesh, the products that are produced by the flesh. Wow. And shows lust and passion. Let's look at verse 24. Same 5, Galatians 5 and 24.
Mm-hmm. those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passion and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified him.
So amen.
Things that I used to do has been nailed to the cross, and I don't do them anymore.
Been crucified.
Yes.
Been crucified.
They are crucified on the cross.
I read 23-24. It says legalism is helpless in bringing this about. Mm. It only gets in the way. And what do we say legalism is? Do you recall?
Oh, no. I have short
legalism. No, it's okay. We had talked about it being things that people say you must do, but it's not necessarily it doesn't bend. It's not flexible. So it's laws and all that kind of stuff, but it's more like tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's look it up just to make sure that it's not wrong. Legalism. One moment.
Okie dokie.
Legalism. Okay. Excessive adherence to law or formula. And again, that's what I was saying. It's just sticking so close to the law that it you can't change it. You can't, you know, it stops you from doing the right thing sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Dependence on moral law rather than on personal religious faith. Stress obedience apart from faith, and you produce legalism. So stress, S-T-R-E-S-S, obedience apart from faith, and you produce legal. So you have to have the faith. You have to have that faith, more so than saying the law says this, the law says that, because nobody can keep all of the law. We already said that. Ten Commandments, the 613 commandments that were given to us, but we just emphasized the 10. Nobody can keep all of those, and God knew that when he gave it. But so why would he give that when he knows people, that you know how the Israelites were. They always, every time he turned around, they were doing something to aggravate God. So.
Exactly.
So why would he give us the 613 laws?
we can't keep them anyway, but...
That's what I'm saying. So why would he give it to us?
That's a good question. So that we can what?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. He gave it as a standard so you know what not to do. You know?
Oh.
It's a standard. It's a rule. It's like a measuring mark to know that if you cross it, then you have transgressed against him. All right?
Okay.
Honor thy father and thy mother. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't covet your neighbor's anything, you know? Don't lie. Don't cheat. Those are standards letting us know that if we don't do that, we've transgressed against what he has commanded us to do.
Yes.
All right? Wow. We've crossed the line. But he knows. He knows his people.
Yes. Yeah, he created us, so he knows exactly what we do.
So he gave us that.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us the commandments so that we will know when we're doing wrong. And we will have no excuse.
Exactly.
Because there's another part in the Bible that says people that don't even know the law, because they love one another, they do the right thing.
Yeah.
So it's not about the law. Mm-hmm. It's about being right with one another.
Yeah.
You know? Love thy neighbor as you love yourself. And if you love yourself, you're not going to do wrong to you or your neighbor.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And that goes above the law. That's above the law. If you do those things, you hey, You're not going to do anything wrong to people.
Yeah.
You shouldn't anyway. You should not.
You should not.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. you have people who would do it anyway, and they know it's wrong.
Yeah. And so those are not really people that are following the law. Or
right.
following the Lord, I should say. They're
mm-hmm.
not people following the Lord. They're doing their own thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then people say things like, well, if you don't get caught, it's not about being caught.
It's not about that.
You know, I could do this, such, and such, but if I don't get caught, you know, I'm good. No, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
God sees you if nobody else
God,
sees you.
Thank you. That's what
and
I
it's still
said.
Wrong.
Everything
it's still wrong whether you get.
Yes. People say.
It's still
oh,
wrong whether you,
I didn't see
whether
you
get arrested
no,
or not.
God saw me.
It's still wrong, okay?
Yes, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
To thine own self be true.
Yes.
Okay, and thou canst be false to any man. To thine own self be true.
Be true. Gotta be
Let's
true
look
to
at First John.
To be true to somebody else.
Right. Let's look at 1 John 2:16. 1 John 2:16.
John.
2:16.
Okay. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. Absolutely, they're not from the
Father. Amen. Why should we not be proud?
Because proudness that leads into sinfulness. Because
being proud leads into sinfulness.
Well, okay. Say you when you're proud, then you're you know, say you did something and you feel like, okay,
right.
I did this on my own. I didn't
All
have
right.
no help from anybody. And, you know, you're boasting about yourself instead of giving
Amen.
God credit.
Amen. Amen. You're taking credit for something
yes.
that
yes.
you had nothing to do, but for the will of God, it would not have transpired.
Exactly.
So it's not for you to boast and say, you know, beating your chest, look at what I've done. No.
Mm-hmm.
You
yep.
give God the glory. You give
that's
God
right.
the praise.
Yeah.
All right? So that's why we're not to be proud.
A lot of people be boasting about what they did or what
right.
I accomplished.
Right.
Well, without God,
right.
you wouldn't accomplish any of that.
Exactly. That's why it's good. And some people say, you know, don't do it, but that's why it's good when people give you a compliment. You
yeah.
say, to God be the glory.
Exactly.
And then I read other things, and it says, just say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's
well,
enough.
Well,
that's
see,
just my personal opinion.
What I do, I'll say thank you to the person, but in my mm-hmm. mind, I'm saying to God be the glory.
Mhm.
Yeah.
But what about if you say out loud that same to God be the glory?
Well, yeah, I would say that too. But like when if I just say and when the person say, "Oh, you did such a wonderful job," and I'll say, "Oh, thank you. To God be the glory."
Right. Okay. But you mm-hmm. didn't say that at first. You said to yourself.
No. Right. Right. In my mind,
right.
like sometimes, you know, you
right in your mind, I heard you quite clearly. That's
yes.
why I'm saying, why
yeah.
not say to God be the glory out loud to the person that's giving you the compliment?
Yes, But sometimes, you know, you forget, you know, to give God the glory, which we're not supposed to. We're not supposed to. We just say, oh, thank you, and, you know, move it on. But then you say...
Being on the real side, that's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
You know, that's very true. But... we ought to give him the glory because, again,
absolutely,
as you said, otherwise we're being prideful.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, you didn't do nothing. If it wasn't for God, it wouldn't have been done.
Absolutely.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that was 1 John 2:16. Huh?
I said, to God be the glory.
Yes, yes. And so we were talking about
what?
2:16. Didn't we just read that? You just read that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought you said
something
about 20 something.
No, I was just trying to go back to where we had stopped, and I wanted to read mine.
Okay.
First John 2:16. But mine is from 15-17. And it says, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's good. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. The world and all its wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. All right? So all that other stuff is basically selfish,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Selfish. So continuing on, and can enslave the believer. Romans 7:25. Let's see what that says. Romans 7:25.
Okay.
And enslave the believer.
Mm. Okay. 7:25.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin.
Mm.
So then that, you know, he thanked God, and, you know, then the answer is in Jesus Christ.
Right.
So, you see, but then he said in his mind, he really wanted to obey God's law, but
mm-hmm.
because of his sinful nature, you know, he said that he's a slave of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
which is true. We are.
Indeed.
What do you say?
Okay. It says, 7:25.
Mm-hmm.
It goes, the whole 25. Okay, the answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but am pulled by the influence of sin to do
mm-hmm.
something totally different. So
right.
you want to serve him
mm-hmm.
with all your heart, mind, soul, but you're pulled in another direction
exactly.
because of sin.
Mm-hmm.
If you allow it to.
Yeah.
If you allow
yeah.
it to.
That's it. If you allow
right.
it.
Right. Exactly. And we just got through reading that we have this inner thing that would allow us to love and be kind and do this and do that and do the right thing. We
yes.
already have that in us. So we
right.
have to rely on the crucified Christ
mm-hmm.
because he gave us that strength. We have to rely on him, lean on him, leaning
yes.
on the everlasting arms.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We have to
yes.
rely on him because he is able and he's capable.
Yeah.
Saying the same thing, but he's able.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
So in it is nothing good. And that's verse 18. For the presence of the new life in Christ makes all that is associated with the flesh old and useless. So let's look at verse 18 in Romans 7 and 18.
18 says, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I cannot.
Amen. And mine, thank you, is from 17 to 20. And it says, but I need something more. For if I know the law, but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in action. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time.
Yes.
And this is Paul talking.
Yeah.
Paul talking.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
I love Romans because Paul don't hold back anything, you know?
Exactly.
Put it out there now. You take it or you leave it.
Exactly. Tells us. And that's what the truth is.
Yes.
You tell the truth in season and out of season, whether they want to hear it or not.
Amen.
You tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you going to bend the truth? Because, oh, that's going to make so-and-so feel not so bad. Or I should say, not feel so bad. But
uh-huh.
It's not about them. It's about God.
Yes.
And this is the truth. And if you're doing something that's not quite right, and someone shows you the way,
yeah.
Why are you getting mad? Why are you getting mad? You should be glad that they're trying to help you, really.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. They're not trying to make you feel bad or insult you. They're just trying to enlighten you and let you know what the word says.
Oh, so
and we
true.
Have to keep it at that, the word and not our own opinion. We don't be interjecting what we think. It's what the word says. And it's not a bad time to then quote scripture or go to scripture, you know, because you don't want people to say, oh, so-and-so thinks they so high and mighty and whatever, whatever. And they always misquote and stuff, you know. So it's nice if you can back up this truth with the scripture. And if you can't, then so be it, you know. But it's good if you can. It's good if you will.
Amen.
All right. That adds value to whatever it is you're telling that's truthful to the other person, which, again, might hurt their feelings, you know?
Well, if the truth but again, hurts, it hurts.
And it might make them reexamine themselves.
Yes.
Not saying that we're better than they are, because the word says, how you going to talk about the splinter in your brother's eye when you got a 2x4 in your own eye?
Ain't that the truth?
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So we can't be judging nobody. We just want them to know the truth.
Amen.
All right?
Yeah.
And we're no better than anybody else. We just are after the truth. We try to get closer to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Every day I want to get a little closer and closer.
That's it. That's it. For the presence of the new life in Christ makes all that is associated with flesh old and useless. This includes blatantly evil things as well as amoral things, and sometimes things that might be good in themselves, but that bring no pleasure to God because they are works of the flesh.
Yes.
Any thoughts about that or any discussion of matter going on the truth?
Go on.
Huh?
No,
go on.
No,
I'm going on.
It just said those are the things of the flesh,
The flesh. Right.
Yep.
Right. All right. Number two, the control. The flesh can only be controlled by actualizing our co-crucifixion with Christ. We have crucified the flesh. That is, we have been separated from its domination by our association with Christ dying unto sin, Galatians 5:24. We can experience victory not by eradication of the flesh, not wiping out the flesh, but by walking in dependence on the Spirit to control it. So we can get the victory not by just, you know, eliminating or cutting off the flesh, but by walking, depending on the Spirit to control the flesh.
Absolutely.
And so let's take a look at Galatians 5:24 and then 5:16.
Okay. Okay. 5:24 says, as the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything.
Mm.
Okay.
Any thoughts about that?
No, they don't. Well, when it says submit, it's not saying that, you know, you got to be the slaves of your husband, but you obey.
It's obeying. I mean, is there a difference between being a slave and obeying?
Yeah. A slave means that you have no say. You have to do whatever the master tells you to do.
And obeying, what does that mean?
Well, you do what is right.
So if she tells you something,
said as the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Now,
so if they tell you, if the husband or the male tells you something that is wrong, are you supposed to submit to his word, his
absolutely
desires?
No, because that's going against God. If he's telling you to do something that is not within the word of God, then you are not supposed to submit to that.
Amen. And he needs to be following Christ.
Yes.
And we are supposed to be following him or submitting to what he's asking us to do. And if he's following Christ, this was part of our Sunday school lesson. Did y'all study that too on Saturday?
What? No, we was more talking about, planning a memorial service for Virginia.
Oh, okay. So you already studied the lesson.
Yeah, we did some of it. Barbara came with something different from what we were supposed to do. But anyway.
Barbara?
Yeah, Barbara was doing the lesson Saturday.
Who's Barbara?
In Nadine's Bible study class on Saturday.
Oh, I didn't know you were there.
At 2:00? You're not in that class.
Yeah, I'm not. That's why I was saying that. Who is Barbara?
Oh, so what class are you talking about?
The one you have on Saturday at 2:00. That's what I was saying. Who's Barbara?
Yeah, that's the one. Barbara is one of the teachers. She's
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. What I was saying was that was our Sunday school lesson Sunday, and that the husband and the wife have to submit to one another. Not so much that the wife submits to the husband,
mm-hmm.
and the husband is to love his wife as he loves himself.
Right.
As Christ loves the church. All right. And so if he's following Christ, he's not going to be untoward toward her. He's not going to give her wrong things to do
mm-hmm.
if he's following Christ.
Right.
So she can feel, you know, comfortable in submitting to him. And a lot
yes.
of people don't like that word, submit. I bow down. You don't have to bow down to him. But
no.
you need to be of
yes.
him.
Yes.
And if he asks you to do things, again, if he's following Christ, it should not be a problem.
Mm-mm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
It should not be a problem.
Should.
That means he needs to be going to church. He needs to be reading the word. He needs
Amen.
To know Jesus Christ, you know, as much as his level of understanding can be. And that way he can lead a woman.
Yes.
But if he's not following Christ, you want me to follow you and you're not following Jesus? No.
You only lead them in the wrong way.
Right. Then you can't lead me. You're not following the leader.
Mm-hmm.
You're not following the leader.
Just like it said there, Christ is the church. And we have...
Yes.
As the, his
Christ is the head of the church. No,
yes.
Christ is not the church. Christ is the head of the church.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We are the body of the church. We
right.
are the body of the church. So Christ is the head of the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was, what was that, 7 and 25, did you read? No,
24.
5 and Galatians 5 24. And 24.
Yeah.
Let me say what mine says, Galatians
yeah.
5 and 24. Mine covers more than that. It covers 23 through 24. I think we read this already. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our, yeah, I read this already, getting
mm-hmm.
our own way. And mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessity is killed off for good, crucified. That's talking about that. That's what I had started talking about before, that legalism, which was...
Yeah,
what
right.
was legalism again? What's legalism again? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
I said, I just asked you a question. What is legalism?
Yeah.
Following the law. That's legalism. Following the Mosaic laws. To the point that you can't even, your faith can't come in there because you're so busy following the laws. You know, where's your faith?
Right.
All right?
Tell me.
All right, so. That's legalism, and I know I'm not going to test you on it, but I might, but I just want you to be cognizant of something about it, okay?
Okay.
Following the law
mm-hmm.
to the point of nothing else makes sense to you, only just, and we're under grace. We're
yes.
under Jesus Christ's grace, so it's not about the laws anymore, although,
no.
again, if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you're not going to do anything offensive to your neighbor, all right? And your neighbor could be in your own house, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's just not about the one next door, across the street, or up the block. Your neighbor is someone outside of yourself, okay?
Okay.
So, continuing on, we can experience victory not by eradication of the flesh, wiping out the flesh, but by walking in dependence on the Spirit to control it. And let's look at verse 16,
mm-hmm.
Galatians 5 and 16. And we're going to wrap it up in a minute. Okay, 5 and 16.
Yeah. 16 says, Oh, no, that's Ephesians. I just had good relations. How did it move that quick? Oh, here we go. 5 and 16 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. That's right. As long as you have the Spirit guiding you, then your sinful nature can't.
Right. You won't feel compulsion for selfishness. Then let me read mine. And mine is 16 through 18. It says, my counsel is this. Live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. But there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day. Mm-hmm. So depends on how you feel, you're going to act a certain way. You're going to be obedient or disobedient. So why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? Talking about that legalism again. All right?
Yeah.
Don't be dominated by a legalistic existence. Okay, so what time is it? It's 7:57.
You got 2 minutes.
All right,
we're going to pray
out. We're gonna close it. Yeah, we're going to close it at stopping at C.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Okay.
So you want to say anything before you take us out in prayer?
No, it was a wonderful lesson, and I'm going to have to go into depth about this legalism.
Okay. Okay. So you want to bring that to us?
Hold on. That's a nice drive.
Can you hear me? Yeah, was coming in, but I'm not going to take it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Accessorize. No, accessorize.
Oh.
So you want to do some homework and bring us a little more enlightenment on that?
No, ma'am. I don't want no homework. I got too much other
stuff. I want you to look something up and see if you can get a little more light on the subject. No, you don't want to? Okay.
On the legalism?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, now don't say okay, and then you tell me next week, oh, I forgot.
No, I'll do it.
Okay, so you're going to give us a little more enlightenment on legalism. Okay.
Legal.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to write that down, too, as I have to do. Where's my book? Hold on a second. I don't want to not down. Where is my been a long time since we had homework.
Yes.
Been a long time since we had some homework. So we're going to talk about legalism.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so Miss Hilda is going to give us more insight into, today is the 3rd.
Today is my daughter's birthday.
Oh, okay. Happy birthday to her. That's Lakeisha?
Yes.
God bless her.
Yeah, bless her heart. I texted this earlier to wish her happy birthday. She was like, oh, thank you, Mommy. How does it feel to be 43?
Wow.
Oh,
beautiful,
my.
Beautiful.
She knows.
How's she doing?
She's doing okay.
Overall?
Yeah, she overall, she's, you know, getting stronger and trying to walk without the walker and use the cane.
Wow.
Yeah, but, you know, even with the cane, she's still a little bit shaky. But I told her in due time, you know, your legs are going to get strengthened more and more each day. As long as you keep, you know, practicing, you'll be okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Keep doing that therapy, you'll be all right.
Exactly.
All right. That's good.
Yep.
That's great to hear. She's off the walker. God bless
her. Yeah. And she sounds more cheerful than she did, you know.
Good. Good. And it's a birthday, too, so, I mean, why not? So.
Exactly. She's probably sitting there celebrating with my niece.
Uh-huh.
So my niece lives across from and the next building from her. So.
Okay.
She's probably at my daughter's house or my daughter's at her house or whichever way they want to do it. Or they probably came out to Golden Corral and have eat.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
That sounds good. That wish a many more for me, okay?
I will.
She doesn't know me.
Definitely. Definitely.
And I'm glad she's improving. That's a beautiful
that
thing.
That makes two of us.
Mm-hmm.
For a minute there, I was a bit worried about her, but, you know, now
I know.
I see that, you know, she's trying. She's trying very hard. God knows.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Beautiful.
And prayers work. So
I know. Prayer changes things.
In prayer. Yep.
Prayer changes
for me. Mm-hmm.
And you know she's on our prayer list, so.
Absolutely.
Prayer changes.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So. Beautiful. Wonderful.
When you're ready.
You. Thank you, Father God, for another year. Thank you for all that you are doing and gonna do. We thank you, Lord God, for life. We thank you for strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. We thank you for touching Lakeisha, healing her where she needs to be healed, Lord God.
Yes.
Touch her where she needs to be touched from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God. Guide her in the way that you would have her to go and let your will be done in her life. Not her will, not my will, but your will be done, Lord God. Touch her in a mighty special way. Lord God, we thank you for another day. We thank you for another opportunity to praise your holy name, to give you the glory, Father. We thank you for the lesson tonight that opened up our minds and our hearts and our ears to hear, to perceive what thus says the Lord, Lord God. We pray that you continue to guide us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord God. Bless each and every one here tonight on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Block Talk Radio, Lord God. Bless our teacher, Lord God, continue to strengthen her and guide her, Lord God. Let your will be done in her life, Lord God. Bless her, Lord God, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God. Let it be all of you and none of her, Lord God. Thank you again for everything. Thank you for a roof over our head, food on our tables, clothes on our backs, Lord God.
Thank you
for our finances. Thank you for increasing our finances in this new year,
Glory.
Lord God. Continue to strengthen us and guide us and just give us a heart of love and compassion and peace, Lord God, to love one another as you have loved us, Lord God. We thank you. We honor and adore you, Lord God. Thank you for forgiving us for our sins, present, past, and future, Lord God. Bless those in authority. Guide them in the way that you would have them to go, that they will make the right decision for the people and for the country, Lord God.
Yes.
And Lord God, I ask that you help those, the homeless, Lord God. Help those in authority to make a place for them to be, Lord God. To put a roof over their heads, Lord God. You know the situation down here, Lord God. You have walked among men, Lord God. So you know what we are dealing with down here. And we pray that you continue to wrap your loving arms around each and every one of us and let your will be done. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
God, thank you for that beautiful prayer.
Thank you for
a
beautiful lesson.
My Lord, praise God. To God be all the glory.
All the glory.
All the glory and honor.
And
on
that,
love you, hugs, kisses.
Love you, love you, love you, hugs and kisses.
Hug yourself.
I am. And my heart is for myself and for you. Praise be to God.
Yes, back at you. Back at
you,
love. Anyway, thank you so much for everything, okay? Have a beautiful New Year. Happy, prosperous, healthy, loving, just awesome New Year, okay?
Right back at you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hug Chico for me, too, okay?
I will. The poor thing, the cone on his head is like, it depresses him instead of helping him. But,
oh, he's got a cone on? I didn't know.
Yeah, because the cone is to keep him from, you know, going down there to irritate it and cause an infection. So that's why he has to wear the cone. But I take it off when I take him outside. But
I didn't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when he's back in the house, I put it back on. So the only thing he could do is sleep.
Well, he can use that too, you know.
Because he cannot do anything else. He can't lick himself. He can't, you know, jump up and down like he was doing before.
Oh.
And he's got 4 more days to wear it, so he'll be all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So how long altogether?
She said a week.
He had to
wear it from Saturday to Saturday.
Uh-huh. That's to break him out of the habit of licking himself or something?
No. I had him neutered.
Oh, okay. Now I know.
I had him muted, so that's why he have the cone on to keep him from messing with it.
I got you. I got you. So he can heal.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
because
bless
you
his
know,
little
they
heart.
They put that what you call it, invisible thing, like it's like a bandage, but it's the clear invisible, it melts away once it heals.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know anything about that, but I hear you.
Yes.
I
tell you, since I had him, honey, I had to learn a lot about dogs.
Yeah, I got you. But that's so wonderful because he's such a sweetheart, though.
He is. I know, sometimes he do get on my last nerve, but, you know, I still love him. And he'll look at me with them eyes, and it'd be like, oh, he just melted my heart.
I hear you. How's Noah?
I couldn't even tell you because, like I said, they don't contact me. They don't bring him over. So
I got you.
Yeah.
Is he still with his dad?
Huh?
Yeah. Is he still with his father?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
The last time I saw a picture of him. He had on a blue suit, and the suit was too big, but, you know, they don't know how to shop for the boy. But anyway, he was in church. He was crying.
Oh.
Yeah, he was crying and sad because he didn't want to go to church. He wanted to be with his sisters, you know, with the babies.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be with them, but, you know, the father said, no, you're going to church, so...
Well, that's good, but hopefully he'll get a good foundation with his father.
Hopefully.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, because... Yeah. But, you know, the things that he was doing before, you know, I pray to God that he's not doing them now that he got the boy.
Right.
You
especially
know?
Especially with the young one in the house. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
But God is good. He's in prayer also.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
My little darling. Yeah.
Bless
I miss him. I really miss him so much. But, you know, my granddaughter, you know, she never keeps a phone number. She's always changing the phone number. So when I call on that, somebody else answers and they don't know who she is. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's the young folks.
Hey.
Yeah.
I hear you.
But
so
anyway,
true.
I won't hold you up, and I'm going to go and walk Chico before it gets too late.
Okay. Thank you so much. God bless you, love you, and have a beautiful night, okay?
Okay, you too.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. And on that note, we are out. Praise be to God.